young, I'd listen to the radio.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Bob Trout speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is Mutual.
This is ABC Radio Network.
Well, happy Easter, everybody, and welcome to Same Time, Same Station. Larry and John Gassman with you. It's all about Easter this week. We have four programs, and we're going to hear Family Theater, also The Greatest Story Ever Told, The Resurrection, and Gene Autry from 1952 Easter program. The first Easter program we'll hear is Fibber McGee and Molly, The Spring Festival Parade. As we go back to Easter, Fibber McGee and Molly from April 14, 1942. Well, happy Easter, everybody, and welcome to Same Time, Same Station. Larry and John Gassman with you. It's all about Easter this week. We have four programs, and we're going to hear Family Theater, also The Greatest Story Ever Told, The Resurrection, and Gene Autry from 1952 Easter program. The first Easter program we'll hear is Fibber McGee and Molly, The Spring Festival Parade. As we go back to Easter, Fibber McGee and Molly from April 14, 1942. Well, happy Easter, everybody, and welcome to Same Time, Same Station. Larry and John Gassman with you. It's all about Easter this week. We have four programs, and we're going to hear Family Theater, also The Greatest Story Ever Told, The Resurrection, and Gene Autry from 1952 Easter program. The first Easter program we'll hear is Fibber McGee and Molly, The Spring Festival Parade. As we go back to Easter, Fibber McGee and Molly from April 14, 1942.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. Makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with songs by the King's Men and music by Billy Mills Orchestra. By an odd coincidence, it's April in Wistful Vista, as it is in so many other places. And this is the day of the Spring Festival and Parade. There's a tradition that all parades must be led by a man on a white horse. Mr. McGee is the only man in town who owns a white horse. Guess who's going to be Grand Marshal? And here at the costumers, waiting to get their parade outfits, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Well, so you've definitely decided on wearing a Western costume, McGee.
Huh? Absolutely. Looks swell, too. Me in a sombrero and chaps and a silver-mounted Western saddle. I got a silver-mounted bridle for Lillian, too.
Well, that won't fool anybody, McGee.
Hmm?
Lillian is too fat to look like a cow pony. She's more cow than pony.
Oh. Don't worry. She'll look Western, all right. Why, she's even got a brand on her left hip.
Since when?
Since last night. I done it with indelible ink.
Well, and what's your brand, partner?
C-bar-F.
C-bar-F, huh?
Yeah. In honor of Uncle Dennis, C bar F. Confirmed bar fly. And when I ride...
Excuse me, can I help you in any way?
Yes, you can use your influence, if any, and cancel this whole parade.
She's kidding, bud. We're leading the festival parade today, and we want to rent some costumes.
I see. Will you be riding on one of the floats?
I will. McGee will be floating on one of the rides.
He's still kidding. I'm riding my white horse, bud.
In that case, a suit of armor might be rather effective.
Say, it might at that. How would I be as a knight, Molly?
Well, I think the combination of a knight and a mare would be too appropriate, dearie. You better go Western.
Okay, you got any Western outfits, bud?
Oh, indeed we have, sir. Uh-huh. Now, let me see. You'll need chaps and boots, vest, checkered shirt, scarf, and a 10-gallon hat. What hat size, sir?
A 7.
Oh, I'm afraid we haven't got a size 7 in a 10-gallon hat.
Well, give him one 5-gallon hat and one 2-gallon hat. That's 7.
It's very amusing, madam. However, I can get one from our East Side branch, I think.
Swell. Send that Western outfit out to Fibber McGee, 79 Wistful Vista, will you, bud? Right away?
Yes, sir. And now what kind of a costume for the lady?
Oh, so you two lads have finally got around to me. Well, now, isn't that sweet?
How about a beautiful Juliet costume, madam? Gold spangles, gold slippers, little Juliet cap with sequins. Quite charming.
Oh, sounds good to me, Molly. I love dresses with sequences down the back.
Oh, I don't know, dearie. I don't think I'm quite the Juliet type. The only balcony scene I ever made was when I dropped my purse on a man's head at the Bijou Theater.
How about a little Bo Peep costume, madam? Cotton pinafore, a picture hat, ballet slippers, and a crook.
What was that, Bud?
Nothing personal, dearie. A crook is one of those long button hooks that shepherds carry. Didn't you ever heard sheep?
Why, sure I've heard sheep. They go bang. What's that got to do with him calling me names?
Crook is merely the term for a sheep herder's staff, sir. You see, in herding sheep.
Never mind, I'll explain it to him later. Just send the Bo Peep costume out with his thing.
Yes, certainly, madam. I'll make up the costumes immediately, sir.
Well, I guess that's all, Molly. Boy, this is going to be fun. I can hardly wait till. Oh, look who's just come in. Uppington.
Is she in this parade, too?
I wouldn't be surprised. She's probably riding on a float for the Loyal Order of Moose.
Well, how could she? She doesn't belong to them.
Well, I ain't sure of her loyalty, but she's sure built on the Order of a Moose. In fact, that old moose. Oh, hi, Effie.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. McGee? How do you do, my dear?
Hello, Abigail. Don't tell me you're riding in this parade, too.
Oh, indeed I am, my dear. The Women's Club has a float entered, and I am riding on it as Paul Revere.
Oh, Paul Revere. Well, looky here. Oh, boy.
Isn't that wonderful? I shall wear shoes with silver buckles, white stockings, ruffled breeches, and a three-cornered hat.
Oh, that's funny. When I was a kid, I wore just the opposite, a ruffled hat and three-cornered breeches.
Rascal, you. You do say the wittiest things. But tell me, what costumes are you wearing?
Well, McGee is wearing cowboy's outfit, and I'm going as Little Bo Peep. We've got a Selkie all decorated with paper flowers, and Lillian will pull the Selkie with McGee on her back.
Oh, yeah. How utterly delightful. Yeah. I imagine Mr. McGee will look very dashing as a cow striker.
Puncher, Uppy. Cow puncher. Oh. And when I get into that outfit, I'll bet. Oh, my gosh.
What's the matter, dearie? Oh. Are you ill?
Oh, good heavens, how pale he is. Oh, sit down, Mr. McGee.
No. I'm all right, girls. I just thought of
something. Well, heavenly days, it can't be that bad. What is it?
Wait a minute. Hey, Bud, come here a minute.
Yes, sir. Did you wish to speak to me, Mr. McGee?
Yeah, come here a minute. Look.
Yes. Oh, yes, sir. Indeed, they do.
Ah, boy. Is that a load off my mind?
Oh, but what was it, Mr. McGee? Really, I have never seen anyone look so perturbed.
What'd you want to know, McGee?
Well, I was just checking up. Them cowboy chaps I'm going to wear, they're awful open in places.
Yeah.
I didn't know if cowboys wore pants under them or not. But they do. Well, come on, Molly. I'll see you later, Paul.
Thank you.
Dolly, did you get the sulky all decorated?
Yes, I did, McGee. And if I never see another paper petunia, it'll be too soon. Did you curry Lillian?
Yes, I did. And she's as nervous as a cat. Ah, but I like a horse with spirit. I hope she acts kind of skittish in the parade.
Well, I don't. Remember, I'll be right behind you in that oversized go-kart. And don't go showing off your horsemanship.
Don't worry. I know how to ride. Someday, you know what I'm going to do?
Certainly, but what's a little fall off a horse?
Someday, I'm going to teach Lillian to kneel down when I mount and dismount. I knew a guy that taught his horse that once. Just touched him on the foreleg with his riding crop, and the horse had kneeled down. Ah, poor old Hank.
Why, poor old Hank?
He was riding through a creek one day, and a floating stick hit his horse on the knee. The horse knelt down, and poor old Hank got drowned. I haven't seen him since. Hey, ain't it about time our costumes got here? It's almost... That must be them now. Come in.
Any of you cowhands order some Western clothes?
Hey, now, don't make so much noise, Mr. Oldtimer. You don't have to come bursting in here like a hop-along casserole.
That's Cassidy, Molly.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Cassidy.
Don't mention it, daughter. Hey, I ain't Cassidy. He means hop along as Cassidy.
Oh.
You got my Western outfit there, Oldtimer? Oh, yeah. Thanks very much.
Don't mention it, Johnny. What you gonna do with it? Run away from home and join the Texas Rangers?
Nope, I'm going to be Grand Marshal this afternoon, Oldtimer. Going to put a saddle on Lillian and ride her in the parade.
Well, I'm glad that's all there is to it, kids. I was afraid Johnny was really going out west. Pretty dangerous life out there.
What's dangerous about it?
Well, my papa's out there near Dallas, and he's been laid up now for 3 weeks with blisters all over the palms of his hands.
Well, what on earth happened to him?
Works on a dude ranch out there, daughter.
Yeah.
And in the evening by the campfire, he had to sing Deep in the Heart of Texas so often he clapped his hands into a pulp.
If he was such a success, they should have held him over the campfire.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to the other feller, say, you saving enough out of your living expenses to buy United States war-saving stamps? Nope, says t'other feller. Nope, says the first feller. Nope, says t'other feller. I'm just saving enough out of my war-saving stamp money for living expenses. Well, I'll be looking for in the parade, kid. I'll be on the roof of the First National Bank building.
Oh, say, now, wait a minute. They tore that building down last week, Mr. Oldtimer.
What? They did? Much obliged, daughter. By cracky, you saved me a nasty fall.
Well, here's the costumes, Molly. We better be getting dressed.
All right, and I hope I won't feel too silly in a little Bo Peep costume.
Oh, you look cute. Personally, I'm going to get a great kick out of masquerading as a four-bit cowhand.
A four-bit cowhand?
Yeah, that's a half a buckaroo. Oh. Now, let me see. First, the boots. Hey, look. They sent me women's boots. These have got high heels.
Go on. All cowboys wear high-heeled boots, foolish.
They do? I wonder if they paint their toenails, too. Maybe if I slip them over on
you. Hello, folks. Say, is it true that you're leading the parade this afternoon?
That's right, Mr. Wilcox. McGee is going to ride Lillian, and I'll ride in the sulky behind them.
I'm wearing a cowboy outfit, Harlow. I'll wave my lorgnette at you as I ride by.
Your what?
My lorgnette. You know, the rope that us cowboys use to lasso cows.
That's a lariat, McGee. Huh? A lorgnette is a pair of glasses on a stick that society ladies look through when they don't want to recognize somebody they know.
Well, besides, Fibber, you won't wave at me. I'm in the parade, too.
You are? You playing in the drum and bugle corps?
No, the Johnson's Wax people have entered a float in the parade.
Really, Mr. Wilcox? What kind of a float is it?
It's allegorical.
Hey, that's a marvelous idea, Harlow. Where'd you get the alligators?
Say, McGee, you're awfully dense today. Huh? Allegorical means symbolic.
Yes, our float symbolizes modern housekeeping. Shall I describe it?
Can we stop you?
No.
That's what I thought. Go ahead.
Well, the whole float is a giant replica of a container of Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. On one side, a banner says no rubbing, and on the other side, no buffing.
Isn't that wonderful?
Say, wouldn't it be cute to have a little boot black with a bath towel in one hand and a shoe in the other?
Meaning what?
It shines as it dries?
No.
Okay.
Then we have a beautiful girl dressed as a chic little housewife, dressed to go out to the movies or shopping or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We got a professional model for that.
Yeah, but who'd you get to take the part of the chic?
McGee. What makes you so dumb? He meant chick. That's French for ducky.
Certainly. Then in the back, there's a huge alarm clock with the minute hand pointing to 20, meaning the glow coat dries to a mirror-like polish in 20 minutes or less. Of course, the whole floor of the float is covered with a beautiful, gleaming linoleum. No kidding, it's going to be a very effective float.
But what are you going to do, Hollow?
I'm going to drive it.
You mean you're going to drive it and play the cymbals at the same time?
Who said anything about playing the cymbals?
You said it was symbolic, didn't you?
Oh, for Pete's sake. It's no wonder they asked you to lead the parade. You can't even follow an idea.
What's he getting so fine-haired about?
Well, now, he thought you were making fun of him. You know, don't forget, he takes his work very seriously.
I know that. Any guy that has his bedroom ceiling covered with linoleum so it's the last thing he sees at night and the first thing in the morning has got my deep... Hey, didn't that costume company send me a sombrero?
Of course they did. It's over there by the wastebasket.
Which one is the wastebasket?
The one with all the tissue paper in it is the hat.
Oh, yeah. How's it look on me, Molly?
Well, frankly, dearie, you look like a grasshopper under a mushroom. No wonder cowboys always sing such lonesome songs.
What do you mean?
Well, with a hat like that, nobody can get near them.
Oh, you just ain't used to it. The reason that... Come in.
Oh, hello there, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, hi, Latrivia. What goes?
I beg your pardon?
What's pretty in the city? What fries with the guys? What do you know that ain't so?
Don't be so slangy, McGee. What he means, Mr. Mayor, is what's cooking.
Oh. Yeah, I see, I see. I'm afraid I'm not quite up on the modern idiom.
Who's a modern idiom? Now you look here.
Now, just a minute. Just a minute, please. I just wanted to be sure you were familiar with the root of the parade.
Well, I think we are, but maybe you better run over it again to make sure, Mr. Mayor, if you have time.
I'll take time. Though I have been so busy making my belt buckle speech at different places, I haven't been able to devote much thought to this parade.
What you mean, belt buckle speech, Latrivia?
About our war effort, McGee. I talk to people in offices and factories and schools. I tell them that if we expect our boys to belt those Japs over there, we have to buckle down and work over here.
Good.
The whole purpose of my talks, of course, is to make people realize that this war won't be won simply by giving up two golf balls, a new inner tube, and a teaspoonful of sugar. This thing involves everything we have and everything we are. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And by George, if a nation of freedom-loving mechanical geniuses can't smack the kimonos off a gang of little thieves who couldn't invent a dollar watch on their own, we're not the people I think we are, and I think we are. Oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to make a speech here. Now, about the route of this parade. We start at 14th and Oak Streets.
And go east?
No, we go west, young man. We go west to Maple, then 10 blocks south to McKinley.
I thought we went south to Adams.
No, McKinley. Then east to Washington, north to Monroe.
Don't you mean Madison?
No, Monroe.
How can we go north to Monroe? It's an east and west street.
My goodness, is it? Yes, it is.
Yes,
I don't know what... Oh, but I merely said we go north to Monroe, not on it.
Oh, then we don't go on Monroe.
No. Yes, you do, too. North on Washington to Monroe. And then
well, I still don't know how we can go north on an east and west street.
Well, for that matter, if we go west on Adams, which is a north and south street, we'll wind up on an east and west street, which will be Washington going east. And it's a one-way street going west. How do you explain that, Latrivia?
I didn't say we went west on Adams. I said Washington was... I mean, if the parade grows north to Monroe... We can... Now, wait a minute. If we go east on Madison...
You mean south.
South on Madison... No, east on Madison. Then west to...
Quincy.
West to Quincy. Oh, wait a minute. No. Who said anything about Quincy?
Molly did just now.
Well, we don't go to Quincy. Quincy is way down on the south side.
Well, how on earth did we get clear down there? If we go south on Monroe...
We don't go south on Monroe. We go west on Monroe. I mean east. No, I mean south. I mean, if we take Washington to Adams, we... Take it any way you want to.
And don't bring it back!
The King's Men singing Keeping Our Big Mouths Shut.
This is no time for idle chatter, 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 chatter. This is no time to go and blab, blah, blah, blah. This is not the time to whisper. This is the time to stow the gab. He's a nice, friendly chap, but he might tell a Jap with a radio set in his hut. So watch out what you say. We can help out this way, keeping our big mouth shut. Don't forget pretty eyes could be winking at spies while you're dancing and singing hot sut. Don't go dishing the dirt, just be on the alert, keeping our big mouth shut.
Keep it shut, keep it shut, keep it shut.
We've got a brand new slogan, so keep it on your mind. For the slip of a lip might sink a big battleship, the sailor boys of yours and mine. So don't be gossipy Joe, bragging about what you know. Keep old Adolf clear off of his nut. We can help Uncle Sam and stay out of a jam, keeping our big mouth shut. Shh, don't you whisper and tell, don't you tattle and yell, don't go out on the corner and strut. We won't have any jinx if we be like the Sphinx, keeping our big mouth shut. You say you'd like chin music, then buy a piccolo chum and begin. But when you meet with a chap who wants to shoot off his trap, button up his lip and grin. Don't be gossipy Joe, bragging about what you know. Keep old Adolf clear off of his nut. We can help Uncle Sam and stay out of a jam, keeping our great big mouth shut.
Well, how do I look in my costume, Molly? Like an old cowhand from the Rio Grande?
No, you look more like a jockey from old Milwaukee. Why the rubber boots? Is that a Western effect?
Oh, them cowboy boots hurt my feet. Besides, they got those high heels, and I kept falling over on my face.
Oh, that's bad.
Say, you look swell in that little Bo Peep dress, Molly.
You really think so?
Yeah, honest. Very becoming. One of the cutest little...
Oh, dear. Yeah. Come in. Oh, hello, Mr. Wimple.
Hello, folks.
Can't talk to you very long, I'm afraid, Wimple, old man. We're leading the big parade this afternoon, you know.
Yes, I know, Mr. McGee. I asked Sweetie Face if I could go downtown and watch the parade, and she said, yes, if I got my work done in time.
What work, Mr. Wimple?
Oh, she has me washing the windows today, Mrs. McGee.
Well, that shouldn't ought to take very long, Wimp.
It does when I do it her way, with a piece of wet cotton on a toothpick.
Heavenly days, what on earth is the idea of that?
Punishment, Mrs. McGee. Just punishment. I was naughty this morning.
Were you really, Wimp? What'd you do, sneak out and inhale a cubeb?
No, Mr. McGee. At breakfast this morning, she told me to eat all the crust off my toast or I wouldn't have curly hair. And when she turned her back, I made a face at her.
Well, that was safe enough, wasn't it?
That's when I saw it, Mrs. McGee. But she saw my face in the coffee pot.
And then what?
And then I saw the coffee pot in my face.
Oh, dear. Oh, you poor lad. Was the coffee hot?
That's what Sweetie Face asked me afterwards, and I said I didn't think it was so hot this morning, and that started it all over again.
Well, it's too bad you won't be able to see the parade, Wimp. It's going to be pretty impressive.
Oh, I'm sure it will be, Mr. McGee. But maybe I can see it sometime in the newsreels.
Well, I hope so. At least your wife lets you go to the movies now and then, doesn't she?
Yes, on very rare occasions. I haven't been for quite a while now, though.
You haven't?
No. My, wasn't Ben-Hur wonderful the way he drove that train? But I mustn't keep you any longer. You only have a half an hour before the parade starts.
Yes, I'm sorry we have more time to talk, Mr. Wimple. Drop in again soon some evening, won't
Thank you, Mrs. McGee. I'll try to, though I'm usually pretty well tied up evening.
Doing what?
Oh, just lying there, tied up.
Poor little fella. You know, someday he's going to revolt, and I hate to think what'll happen then.
So do I. She'll kill him. He's one of the most henpeckedest. Hey, look what time it is. We got to get going.
Oh, heavenly days, I'll say we have. Run out and hitch Lillian up to the sulky, McGee.
Oh, you okay? No, you run out and hitch her up, Molly. I got to fix this scarf around my neck.
What's the matter with it? It looks very Western to me.
It's too loose. It tickles my neck. I'd be a fine parade marshal, riding along giggling and snickering.
Well, all right, but hurry up now. And if I need any help with the harness, I'll call you, dear.
Okay. I better practice walking bowlegged, too, while I'm at it. Say, I'll bet cowboys play a wonderful game of leapfrog. Maybe I could promote a team. No, oh, now for the... Come in.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hello, sis. Now, look, I haven't got time to talk now. I'm marshal of the parade, and I got to get going in just a minute.
Hmm?
I says I'm marshal of the parade, and I got to get going.
How far do you have to march, mister? How far do you?
I don't have to march. I ride my horse.
Oh. Well, if you don't have to march, why do they call you Marshmallow?
That's a silly question, sis. Just because they call a fish perch, that don't mean he has a canary sitting on his back.
Why?
Why what?
Hmm?
Huh?
I bet they don't either.
You bet they don't what?
Hmm?
I says what they... Now, look, sis, will you do something for me?
Is there any compensation in it, mister?
Hmm? What do you mean, compensation?
Dough.
Why, you little... Yes. Yes, there is. I'll give you a dime.
All righty. What do you want me to do?
Take a pair of shoes downtown for me.
Okay, where are they?
You got them on. Goodbye, sis. Dirty trick, but justified under the circumstances. Now, let me see. Here's my sombrero. Oh, yeah. My gun. My cartridge belt. Guess that's everything. Hey, is that you, Molly?
Yes, dearie, it's me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm all ready to go.
Fine.
You better call the taxi.
Taxi? What taxi?
The one we're riding in the parade.
Hey, what's the matter with you, Molly? We're riding Lillian.
Oh, no, we're not.
What? Why not?
Lower your voice, dearie.
Huh?
Lillian has just become a mother.
Bibber and Molly will be back in just a moment. Thousands of women all over the country have already signed the Consumer's Pledge, sponsored by the government's Consumer Division. If you haven't seen one, this is how the pledge reads. I will buy carefully. I will take good care of the things I have. I will waste nothing. The makers of Johnson's Wax are very proud that their products can play a part in helping you keep this very worthy pledge. An easy way to take good care of the things you have is to protect your floors, furniture, and woodwork with regular applications of Johnson's Wax. In fact, there are over 100 protective uses for this famous wax polish in your home. Wax your windowsills, your Venetian blinds, shoes, luggage, refrigerator, metal furniture, and all chrome surfaces. You'll find Johnson's paste or liquid wax equally good for all these purposes. Paste or liquid, it's the same fine product, and in either form, it's very easy to use.
McGee, did you go out and see Lillian's new baby?
Yeah, cute little cuss, ain't he?
Yeah.
Did Uncle Dennis see it?
No, but I ran up and told him.
Oh, what'd he say?
He said, what color is it?
And what'd you say?
I said, black and white.
And what'd he say?
Make mine the same.
Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson Wax Finishes for Home and Industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Fibber McGee and Molly, April 14, 1942, here on Same Time, Same Station.
Let's continue now with Family Theater. This is a traditional Easter program, The Passion and Death of Christ, as originally broadcast this time from April 3rd, 1947.
The Mutual Broadcasting System presents The Family Theater, starring Miss Ethel Barrymore, the Mitchell Boy Choir, and the music of Meredith Wilson. Charles Boyer is your host.
More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of.
Good evening. This is Charles Boyer. As your host for this evening, I should tell you something about family theater and a story you will hear tonight. Therefore, if I may, I would like to remind you that family theater is dedicated to your family with the hope that your family would always be happy. As you probably know, many of us in all phases of the entertainment industry join with so many of you in the sincere belief that a happy family is a family that acknowledges God and seeks his help. To put it another way, a family that prays together stays together. Now, about tonight's story, there is very little that can be added to its own great words. It is the Passion, Death, and Resurrection, adapted especially for radio by John Slott and narrated by Miss Ethel Barrymore. In these days of a slow dawning toward a new world of peace, we need the old words to guide us. And what greater words can we thus express for this festival day than the words of the Passion, Death, and Resurrection?
Came to pass when Jesus had ended all these words, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days shall be the Pasch, and the Son of Man shall be delivered up to be crucified." Gathered together the chief priests and ancients of the people into the court of the high priest who was called Caiaphas. And they consulted together that by subtlety they might apprehend Jesus and put him to death. But they said not on the festival day, lest perhaps there should be tumult among the people. When Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, they came to him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment and poured it on his head as he was at table. And the disciples, seeing it, had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this might have been sold for much and given to the poor." And Jesus, knowing it, said to them, "Why do you trouble this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For the poor you have always with you, but me you have not always. For she in pouring this ointment upon my body hath done it for my burial. And I say to you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, that also which she hath done shall be told for a memory of her." Then went one of the 12 who was called Judas Iscariot to the chief priests and said to them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? But they appointed him 30 pieces of silver, and from thenceforth he sought opportunity to betray him. And on the first day of their Azims, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, Where wilt that we prepare for thee to eat the Pasch? But Jesus said, Go ye into the city to a certain man, and say to him, The Master saith, My time is near at hand. With thee I make the Pasch with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus appointed to them, and they prepared the Pasch. But when it was evening, he sat down with his 12 disciples. And whilst they were eating, he said, And I say to you that one of you is about to betray me. And they being very troubled began every one to say, Is it I, Lord? But he answering said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, he shall betray me. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man shall be betrayed. It were better for him if that man had not been born. And Judas that betrayed him answering said, Is it I, Rabbi? He saith to him, Thou hast said it. And whilst they were at supper, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke and gave to his disciples and said, Take ye and eat. This is my body. And taking the chalice, he gave thanks and gave to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which shall be shed for many unto remissions of sins. And I say to you, I will not drink from henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I shall drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father. And to him being said, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Jesus said to Peter, And I say to thee that in this night before the cock crow, thou wilt deny me thrice. Peter saith to him, Yea, though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. And in like manner said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with them into a country place which is called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, Sit you here till I go yonder and pray. Taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to grow sorrowful and to be sad. Then he saith to them, My soul is sorrowful even unto death. Stay you here and watch with me. And going a little further, he fell upon his face, praying and saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh to his disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith to Peter, What? Could you not watch 1 hour with me? Watch ye and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh weak. Again the second time he went and prayed, saying, My father, this chalice may not pass away, but I must drink it, thy will be done. And he cometh again and findeth them sleeping, for their eyes are heavy. And leaving them, he went again, and he prayed the third time, saying the selfsame word. Then he cometh to his disciples and saith to them, Sleep ye now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Behold, he is at hand that will betray me. And as he yet spoke, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the ancients of the people. And he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that is he, hold him fast. And forthwith coming to Jesus, he said, Hail, Rabbi, and he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, whereto art thou come? Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and held him. And behold, one of them that were with Jesus, stretching forth his hand, drew out his sword, and striking the servant of the high priest, cut off his ear. Then Jesus saith to him, Put up again the sword into its place, for all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou I cannot ask my Father, and he will give me presently more than 12 legions of angels? How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that so it must be done? In that same hour Jesus said to the multitudes, You are come out, as it were, to a robber with swords and clubs to apprehend me. I sat daily with you teaching in the temple. You laid not hands on me. Now all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then the disciples, all leaving him, fled. But they holding Jesus, led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the ancients were assembled. And the chief priests and the whole council sought false witness against Jesus, that they might put him to death. And they found not, whereas many false witnesses had come in. And last of all, there came two false witnesses. And they said, This man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God, and after 3 days to rebuild it. And the high priest, rising up, said to him, Answerest thou nothing to the things which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest said to him, I abjure thee by the living God that thou tellest, if thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith to him, Thou hast said it. Nevertheless I say to you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power of God, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his garments, saying, He hath blasphemed. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard the blasphemy. What think you? But they answering said, He is guilty of death. But Peter sat without in the court, and there came to him a servant maid, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And as he went out of the gate, another maid saw him. She saith to them that were there, this man also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied it with an oath, I know not the man. And after a little while they came that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for even thy speech doth discover thee. Then he began to curse and to swear that he knew not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which he had said, before the cock crow, thou wilt deny me thrice. And going forth, he wept bitterly. All the chief priests and ancients of the people took counsel against Jesus that they might put him to death. And they brought him bound and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, who betrayed him, seeing that he was condemned, repenting himself, brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and ancients, saying, I have sinned in betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? Look thou to it. And casting down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, having taken the pieces of silver, said, it is not lawful to put them into the corbona, because it is the price of blood. And after they had counseled together, they brought with them the potter's field to be a burying place for strangers. For this cause that field was called Haseldana. That is the field of blood, even to this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was prized, whom they prized of the children of Israel, and they gave them unto the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Now upon the solemn day, the governor was accustomed to release to the people one prisoner. Pilate saith to them, what shall I do then with Jesus that is called Christ? And they all said, let him be crucified. The governor said to them, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And Pilate, seeing that he prevailed nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, taking water, washed his hands before the people, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. Look you to it. People answering said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. Then having scourged Jesus, he delivered them unto them to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor, taking Jesus into the hall, gathered together unto him the whole band, and stripping him, they put a scarlet cloak about him, and plaiting a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and bowing the knee before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And spitting upon him, they took the reed and struck his head. And after they had mocked him, they took off the cloak from him and put on his own garments and led him away to crucify him. And going out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon. Him they forced to take up his cross. And they came to the place that is called Golgotha, which is the place of Calvary. And they gave him wine to drink mingled with gall. And when he tasted it, he would not drink. And after they had crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, They divided my garments among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots. And they sat and watched him. And they put over his head his cause, written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were crucified with him two thieves, one on the right hand and one on the left. And they that passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads, saying, Vah, thou that destroyest the temple of God, and in 3 days dost rebuild it, save thy own self. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. In like manner also the chief priests with the scribes and ancients mocking said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him now deliver him, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the whole earth until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some that stood there and heard said, This man calleth Elias. And immediately one of them running took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the other said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to deliver him. And Jesus again, crying with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. The veil of the temple was rent in two from top even to the bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints that had slept arose, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they came into the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, having seen the earthquake and the things that were done, were sore afraid, saying, Indeed, this was the Son of God. Sabbath, when it began to dawn, towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and coming rolled back the stone and sat upon it. And his countenance was a lightning, and his raiment as snow. And the angel answering said to the women, Fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord was laid. And the 11 disciples went into Galilee unto the mountain where Jesus appointed them. And seeing him, they adored, but some doubted. And Jesus coming spoke to them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the end of the world.
This is Charles Boyer again. I'm sure you were just as moved as I was with Miss Barrymore's reading from the New Testament. The story you heard tonight is a true story, hundreds of years old. It's a story that will never die so long as someone lives to read it or to tell it. And that story is especially wonderful for this program, Family Theater, because it is a story of sacrifice. And after all, the story of your family, of any good family, is a story of sacrifice, is it not? What mother has not given up so much for her children? What father has not sacrificed for his wife and family? Keeping a family together, whether that family is just two people, a husband and a wife, or a big family with many children, keeping that family together and happy demands continual sacrifice on your part. Sometimes the things you must do and the things you must do without are almost too much to bear. But you need never despair, because you can do anything with help. And you can always, always get the most wonderful, most powerful help in all the world just by asking for it. Ask God for his help. His help is so easy to get. Just say a prayer, and say that prayer together with your family. A family that prays together stays together. So tonight and every night, thank God for what you have and ask him for what you need. And if you have never turned to God before and you turn to him now, this will indeed be a joyful and happy Easter for you and your family. Before saying good night, I want to express our thanks to all of you who have helped make this program possible. A special word of praise to John Slott for his adaptation and to Bob Mitchell for directing the choir. Thanks also to Mel Williamson for directing our play tonight and to our producer, Bob Longnecker. Next week, our stars on the Family Theater will be James Craig and Jane Wyatt with John Charles Thomas as your host. Good night.
This series of the Family Theater broadcast is made possible by the thousands of you who felt the need for this kind of program, by the Mutual Network, which has responded to this need, and by the actors and technicians in the motion picture and radio industries who have volunteered their services to fulfill it. Tony Lafrano speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Family Theater, April 3rd, 1947, a very, very strong story, the passion and death of Christ, here on Same Time, Same Station and the Family Theater. If you would like to contact us, you can do this in a number of ways. You can like us on Facebook, Same Time, Same Station. Call during regular business hours, 714-449-1958. Or you can email us. The last name is Gassman, G-A-S-S-M-A-N. So I'm John1Gassman@gmail.com.
And I'm Larry Gassman1 at gmail.com.